You know, for some time, we had been giving the Bishop of Swaziland and the two bishops of Botswana time to speak about the situation in their countries. And in these periods when Bishop Ndlovu has spoken about Swaziland, it has become more and more clear to us that there's a serious crisis that has been evolving over the past 10 years in particular, I would say. And we always ended our discussion of what was going on in Swaziland by asking him whether he should make a statement as a bishop's conference. And for until January this year, he had always said, no, give us a chance. We still think there's a possibility of things improving, and this is what's actually happening. But this year in January, he said, no, the time has come now. Things are just too bad. And we realized then that it must be very serious. So three of us went to pay a visit to Swaziland, four of us, in fact. Archbishop Buti, Bishop Joe Sandry from Witbank, and Bishop Barry Wood and myself. And the reason for our visit was simply to give him fraternal support, solidarity and support, but also to meet with some of the people from the opposition groups who told stories of what was happening. And Bishop Louis Ndlovu's reason for doing that was, he says, look, if I tell you, it'll be colored by the way I see it as somebody in the church. But if they tell you, they'll be telling you from the point of view of a family, a mother of a family, a woman who's working, a man who's involved in this, and from different perspectives. So we had a very good encounter with a wide variety of people who gave us different aspects of what was going on. At the end of that day, we said to them, well, we've heard your story. We've come here on a solidarity visit. What do you expect us to do? And they said, we need your help. We need your help in the form of getting out into the world what is actually happening here in Swaziland. So we said, okay. We picked up these points and we enumerated the points that we had picked up. And then we said to them, but we'd like you to draft the substance of the statement so that it's not inaccurate in any way, and which they did. And then we worked on our own version of that statement, shortened it here and there, explained a few things which they would take for granted and which we thought our people would need to explanations about. And that was how the statement evolved. And eventually, when thought it was ready and we checked it out with them, we issued the statement.
Would you like to tell us what those points are?
Well, I think the main points that were made to us were, look, the monarchy cannot be held in its position at the expense of the population. The king can't be isolated from his people. Those people in government must be in communication with the population. So in answer to those situations that they described, we said that in the statement that the government, the king, must enter into dialogue. By king, we mean the monarchy plus the government, must enter into a substantive dialogue or negotiations, if you like, with the population, and that means the cross-section of the population, including those who are in opposition. And they must work towards having a constitution that is for the benefit of the whole people and not just for a particular class. The state of emergency, which was instituted 30-something years ago.
37 years ago, yes.
37 years. It's got to be lifted. You can't operate a normal democracy in a situation like that. The king has everything, and all the powers have been vested in the king. Judicial, governmental, everything has been vested in the king. You can't have that. So all these things would have to, and a new constitution would have to be therefore drafted, which makes provision for this year. Those are, I think, about the capital points that were made in that. And, of course, the way that the security apparatus is being used against anyone who's seen to be or is in opposition to the government and its positions, they're being given a hang of a time, and that would have to stop was another one of the conditions we asked for to be observed.
Thank you very much. Let's not let Swaziland slip from the attention of the world too much.
Yeah. And I think one of the best ways of doing that, Linda, is to constantly be asking for prayers. You know, when people have something to pray for, then they realize that it's quite serious. And in fact, I would say the Swaziland situation, it's going to take divine intervention to get that change of heart in the king, and especially in his advisors and those who are running the security apparatus. Very much like Zimbabwe, it'll take a miracle from God, and prayer is the only way we're going to get that, prayer and fasting.
Absolutely. I was horrified to read that Swaziland has the lowest life expectancy in the world at 32 years.
Yeah. And you know, when you go and you see, as we did while we were on that visit, we went to a hospice that the church is running. Young people. And they just haven't got the strength. They haven't got the nutrition. Even the ARV medication and so on isn't working anymore because of the condition in which they are.